Welcome to Devotionary and our study of 1 John. This is our final episode in the first four verses of 1 John chapter 1. I've entitled this episode, God Made Visible, and it will continue our look at the divinity and humanity of Christ. John is adamant about establishing the veracity of Jesus' claim to be the Son of God, come in human flesh. There's no doubt that this claim is difficult to get your head around. It sounds unbelievable, if not preposterous. And as in John's day, there are still many who find it difficult to swallow the idea of God becoming a man and living among us. That God would use a human being as his spokesperson or as an example of righteous living is a whole lot more believable. But according to John and the other apostles, that's not what God did. He sent his Son, Jesus, the second member of the Trinity, to appear as a man and make God visible. He walked among men. He knew what it was like to suffer from hunger, grow tired, be tempted, cry, face rejection, and eventually die. And he did it all without committing a single sin. Unbelievable? No doubt about it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. 1 John 1, verse 1. The very idea that God became a man is a difficult one to reconcile. From the earliest days of the church, there have been those who have attempted to discount it as nothing more than a myth, dispute it as an impossibility, or simply rationalize it away through various man-made explanations. Even the Jews of Jesus' day, who were desperately awaiting the coming of the Messiah, were not expecting God to come in human flesh. They were looking for a human Savior, a warrior king in the same vein as David. Their greatest conflict with Jesus was not so much that he claimed to be the Messiah, but that he claimed to be God. That concept was unfathomable and unacceptable to them. In fact, it was his claim of deity that led them to seek his death. The Apostle John tells us, this was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. John 5, verse 18. Yet at one point, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Matthew 16, 13. Peter's response was most revealing. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 16, verse 16. And Jesus commended Peter for his answer. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 16, verse 17. Jesus went on to say that the very essence of Peter's confession would be the foundation on which he would build his church. Rather than deny or dispute Peter's statement, Jesus fully agreed with it and acknowledged the indisputable necessity of it. In yet another confrontation with the Pharisees, they sarcastically said to Jesus, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. John 8, verses 57 through 58. Jesus knowingly used the very words, I am, that God spoke when revealing himself to Moses in the burning bush. And his words did not escape them, because they immediately picked up rocks with which to stone him. The Pharisees could not reconcile Jesus' claim to be divine. They couldn't make it work out within their understanding of God, so they wrote Jesus off as a blasphemer. For them, he was little more than crazy. But there are still those today who would deny the divinity of Jesus. The late Robert W. Funk, founder of the Jesus Seminar, once wrote, "We should give Jesus a demotion. It's no longer credible to think of Jesus as divine. Jesus' divinity goes together with the old theistic way of thinking about God." His rejection of Jesus as divine was clear. Quote, "A Jesus who drops down out of heaven, performs some magical act that frees human beings from the power of sin, rises from the dead, and returns to heaven is simply no longer credible." End quote. But Funk and his fellow members of the Jesus Seminar are not alone. Unitarians and Universalists reject the deity of Christ, teaching that he was merely a man. Over the centuries, there have been countless attempts to rationalize away Jesus' deity. What we cannot explain, we tend to reject. But the gospel of Jesus Christ hinges on the deity of Jesus Christ. He was not just a man sent by God to live an exemplary life and die a martyr's death. He came to live a sinless life and die a sacrificial, substitutionary death as the unblemished Lamb of God. But even with this, Robert W. Funk and others take issue. Quote, "The doctrine of the atonement, the claim that God killed his own son in order to satisfy his thirst for satisfaction, is sub-rational and sub-ethical. This monstrous doctrine is the stepchild of a primitive sacrificial system in which the gods had to be appeased by offering them some special gift, such as a child or an animal." End quote. At the core of man's rejection of Jesus' deity is the notion that we don't need a Savior. Either we reject God's assessment of our sinfulness, or we somehow think we can fix the problem ourselves. We can be our own saviors. But God knew the only solution to our problem was to send His Son to do for us what we could never have done for ourselves. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemns sin in the flesh. Romans 8, verse 3. God entered time and space in human flesh. Unbelievable? No doubt about it. Inconceivable? From a human perspective, yes. But God became visible so that salvation might be made possible. Sin required a sacrifice. That sacrifice had to be a man. The righteousness of God required that that man be without sin. The unbelievable, inconceivable, inexplicable nature of Jesus as the God-man made it possible for Him to meet that requirement and satisfy the just demands of a holy God. He came, He lived, He died, and He rose again. God became visible and made man's salvation possible. I don't have to explain it, but I do have to accept it.